Hi team, welcome to the Kindness, Curiosity and Comfortable Shoes podcast. My name is James McFetridge and this is an ongoing toolkit for all healthcare staff. Whether you are a porter or a paediatrician, a domestic or a driver, clinical or non-clinical, just starting or just finishing your work in healthcare, this podcast aims to give you some useful thoughts about working for this amazing business to get you through your day. Thank you so much for listening. I hope these thoughts are useful and the podcast is fulfilling its purpose as a toolkit for all healthcare workers. So before we start, if you enjoy listening to this podcast, please tell other people, tell your co-workers, share what you like about it. Go on, put it in your work WhatsApp group. Go on, do it now, then it's done. And feel free to follow at JMAC Education on Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, Threads, whatever your social media preference is, and you'll get more information related to the podcasts and other JMAC Education updates. Thank you. It's getting to that time of year where there seem to be a lot of exams going on, certainly for the medical school undergraduates. And also at the same time, there are lots of people in clinical work who are needing assessments done for their portfolios. I appreciate this is very clinically based and perhaps less of interest to non-clinicians listening to the podcast. But I thought it'd be interesting to cover some of the things that I have seen in my experience as an examiner. I guess most people in healthcare have to do exams at some point. I've been examining primarily for undergraduate medical school exams for over 7 years now. And there are a few things that crop up that are easy wins to come across just more professionally if you have to have those kind of face-to-face exams, especially those that are clinically based. But also helpful if you have any workplace-based assessments where your work is going to be observed. There are lots of things that come to mind, so I thought it'd be interesting to do a podcast about those assessments. And funnily enough, exams drive learning, absolutely, and they can be a bit odd in the way that they force us down certain ways of behaving, certain things that we learn about that never seem to crop up in real life. But certainly the tips I'm going to give you will help you be a better clinician and definitely more professional and perhaps even more confident in your clinical work, as well as help you do well in assessments or exams. Now, I'm not going to give any specific details of specific exams that I examine for, OSCEs or Moslers. There are plenty of other places where you can get that information. I can certainly recommend Geeky Medics videos if you haven't come across that before. I do have a slight conflict of interest that I have done some work for them and they are local to me in the northeast of England. But it's a really fabulous set of resources aimed at medical students, but I think are appropriate for a number of different types of clinicians to really hone those clinical skills that maybe you have to demonstrate in some form of an assessment. Now, these tips are going to be very much what can help you if your assessment is borderline, I guess. As an examiner, even though the exams are set to be as objective as possible, and there are very strict marking criteria, it'd be foolish to discount the fact that you are a human demonstrating your clinical skills in front of an examiner who is also human, and often in front of patients or actors who are human. And the interaction between the person being assessed, the person being examined from a clinical perspective, and the person examining and scoring and marking everything. There's so much psychology going on there, and a lot of the subtleties that perhaps aren't listed in the specific areas that must be ticked off, you know, how you check a pulse, for example. their subtleties about how you interact with people and the expectation of that professional conduct. And to me, that's really key to being a good clinician, and are things that can just up your game. They're also things that will often stand out very much at interview. Just those standard things that just will make you come across better and more professional. And they're fairly straightforward. So I'm just going to go through some of them now. So firstly, there will be some form of dress code. There'll be a dress code for your institution, or there'll be guidance for exams. Please, please just follow it. I absolutely accept there may be times when you want to demonstrate your individuality by looking different to other people. The day of an exam is not the day to challenge that authority or push boundaries in what you wear or how you style your hair or display a new range of body piercings. There will be guidance for it, especially if you are at a university institution. Please, please just follow it. Otherwise, you don't know how some people, either the examiner or the patients you're examining, may react. And there's certainly been a number of people who have been pulled up an exam, rightly or wrongly, because they've not followed a dress code. I'm not going to argue the point about that now. But if there is a code that you should be following, please, please just follow it. Slightly along the same lines, name tags. It's professional to have your name badge visible. You may need to show it to the examiner for confirmation of who you are. But often we have these badges hanging on lanyards around our necks. And when you're examining a patient, if it's hanging around your neck, please don't let it swing against the patient. It's just an annoyance. There's clearly an easy transmission of infection by this route between different patients. Just work out with these scrubs or whatever clothing you're wearing, how are you going to tuck that name badge away? Some people like to do an impressive swing behind their back so it rests on their back. But please just remember to alter the position of your name badge so it's not swinging into people's faces or onto their body. Specifically for clinical exams, when you're going to do an examination of a patient, there's a phrase that is guaranteed to annoy me when people say, "I'm going to ask you." So most exams are time limited, and there is always going to be enough time to complete the task that is needed. But it's still really easy to waste time. And it's really common for people in exams to say, talking to the patient before they do a clinical exam, say, "I'm going to ask you to," and then describe in long detail exactly what's going to happen. And for most examinations, you can just cut down on that preamble. For example, "Can you stand and walk so I can assess your gait, please?" compared to, "I'm going to ask you to stand and walk normally, then turn around, walk on your heels, then walk on your tiptoes, then turn it." You get the idea. It's, I think, an expression of examination nerves that people need to explain exactly what they're going to do. But don't forget, examiners are there because we have clinical skill and experience and we know the situation that we are examining. So we're able to interpret how you interact with a patient, how you convey instructions to a patient without you having to describe what you're going to do to the patient and then to do it. It's just a waste of time and it's easy to trip yourself up. Thinking about examiners, one thing that I think from feedback from people is, you know, the examiner, I may have come across them before, they're very impassive, it's very difficult to know whether I've done well or not. Well, most places, certainly the places where I've been an examiner, we are specifically guided to be impassive and not to let slip anything by that might be construed as a signal of doing well or doing badly. If you are being examined by someone you know, don't be surprised if they are that much more serious, that they are very much to the point. They're not going to necessarily even have a smile or a chat, because that could be construed by some candidates to be expressing a bias or favouritism or acknowledging to a candidate how well they have done. So in all honesty, as an examiner, it's not a very interesting day because you have to keep that impassive face and make sure we're picking up on all the right cues to be able to examine a candidate appropriately and successfully. as a candidate, acknowledge that may put you off, but as best as you can, just ignore the fact the examiner is in the room and just concentrate on your interaction with the patient. And if you do have to interact with the examiner because you're going to be asked specific questions by them, then, or you need to summarise the case, then don't look for subtleties in how they are responding, because they will be trying their hardest to not give anything away, whether you were good, bad or indifferent. And the final point along those lines, if you do have to, at the end of an assessment, make some kind of statement to the examiner, maybe summarise your findings, or even, to be fair, if you're doing that back to the patient, please, please stand still, put both feet flat on the ground. That will help literally ground you, give you more stability, means you fiddle around less, and it will give you more confidence in how you summarise your case. That confidence is going to be very key. Like I say, it's not going to pass or fail exactly how you come across, because we're going to examine you on the content. But there will be sections in the exam that will be affected by candidates who come across as being very nervous or unsure of themselves, especially if you have a candidate who has perhaps been borderline in other areas. It's my feeling and my perception from my experience and talking to other examiners that those little bits and some of the other things we've talked about can just sway you to, well, is this person not quite good enough in how they come across professionally? They may have some of the content there. It's not been perfect. Is there something else going on that is going to pull them up or drag them down? And it's these softer aspects of watching someone in a clinical situation that's going to be really important. And even though this is very specifically aimed at exams, like I said right at the start, the way that we behave in exams is a reflection on how people are in real life, because that's how most exams are structured now, to replicate that. And we know from evidence that people who perform badly in these replications of clinical encounters will be less well perceived as a clinician by patients, and they may also be less accurate in their clinical assessment. So it's worthwhile spending some time thinking clearly about the content of how you examine someone and the knowledge that you need to demonstrate and the skills, but also think about those behaviours, about how you act in front of the examiner and in front of the patient, as it may just tip you over the edge into being coming across more confident and performing better in your exam. Thank you for listening today. There are links in the show notes for information that I've referred to in the show. And if you enjoyed the show and want to help the podcast grow and expand, then please support me and the show and head to buymeacoffee.com/jmaceducation. That's buymeacoffee, all one word, .com/jmaceducation, and support the podcast there. Or if you're listening on the podcast website at kccpodcast.buzzsprout.com, click on the heart on the top right of the page, or click on the support the show link in the show notes. It's also really helpful for me if you rate, review, like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever's appropriate on whichever platform you're listening on. Again, it really does help grow the show. Thank you. So please take care of yourselves out there. You are doing a great job. And remember, be kind, be curious, and don't forget your comfortable shoes. Thank you to Shekinah Studio for the music, downloaded through Audio Jungle. Thank you to Beth for the artwork and the photo, produced through Canva. And thank you to Buzzsprout for hosting the podcast. The Kindness, Curiosity and Comfortable Shoes podcast is a JMAC Education production.